This is a description of the United States as a new world power in 1780, even before the war had ended, by Thomas Pownall in a document called A Memorial Most Humbly Addressed to the Sovereigns of Europe on the Present State of Affairs Between the Old and New World. And Pownall says, North America is becoming a new primary planet in the system of the world, which, while it takes its own course in its own orbit, must have effect on the orbit of every other planet and shift the common center of gravity of the whole system of the European world. North America is de facto an independent power which has taken its equal station with the other powers and must be so de jure. The politicians of the governments of Europe may reason or negotiate upon this idea as a matter sub lite, that is, in dispute. Such negotiations and such wars are of no consequence, either to the right or the fact. It would be just as wise and just as effectual if they were to go to war to decide, or set on foot negotiations to settle, to whom for the future the sovereignty of the moon should belong. The independence of America is fixed as fate. She is mistress of her own fortune, knows that she is so, and will actuate that power which she feels she has so as to establish her own system and to change the system of Europe. If the powers of Europe will view the state of things as they do really exist, and will treat them as being what they are, the lives of thousands may be spared, the happiness of millions may be secured, and the peace of the whole world preserved. And if they will not, they will be plunged into a sea of troubles, a sea of blood, fathomless and boundless. The war that has begun to rage betwixt Britain, France, and Spain, which is almost gorged betwixt Britain and America, will extend itself to all the maritime, and most likely afterwards to all the inland powers of Europe. And like the 30 years' war of the 16th and 17th centuries, will not end but as that did, by a general and new resettlement of the powers and interests according to the new spirit of the new system which had taken place. The nature of the coast and of the winds upon that coast is such as renders marine navigation from one end of its extent to the other a perpetually moving intercourse of communion. And the nature of the rivers, which open where marine navigation ends, and inland navigation, which with short interruptions carries on a circulation throughout the whole, renders such inland navigation but a further process of that communion. All which becomes, as it were, a one vital principle of life extended through a one organized being. Whether the islands in those parts called the West Indies are naturally parts of this North American communion is a question in the detail of it, of curious speculation, but of no doubt as to the fact. The civilizing activity of the human race is what forms the growth of state. In this new world, we see all the inhabitants not only free, but allowing a universal naturalization to all who wish to be so, and an uncontrolled liberty of using any mode of life they choose, or any means of getting a livelihood that their talents lead them to. Free of all restraints which take the property of themselves out of their own hands, their souls are their own and their reason. They are their own masters, and when they act, their labor is employed on their own property, and what they produce is their own. In a country like this, where every man has the full and free exertion of his powers, where every man may acquire any share of the things thereof, or of interest and power which his spirit can work him up to, there, an unabated application of the powers of individuals and a perpetual struggle of their spirits sharpens their wits and gives constant training to the mind. The acquirement of information in things and business, which becomes necessary to this mode of life, gives the mind thus sharpened and thus exercised a turn of inquiry and investigation, which is not to be met with, nor ever did exist in any other people to the same degree, unless in some of the ancient republics where the people were under the same predicament. This turn of character, which in the ordinary occurrences of life is called inquisitiveness, in matters of business and commerce, a most useful and efficient talent. In America, the wisdom and not the man is attended to, and America is peculiarly a poor man's country. They find themselves at liberty to follow what mode they like. They feel that they can venture to try experiments and that the advantages of their discoveries are their own. They therefore try what the soil claims, what the climate permits, and what both will produce and sustain to the greatest advantage. Following as use and experience lead the natural progress of improvement, it is every year producing a surplus profit, which surplus, as it enters again into the circulation of productive employment, creates an accumulating, accelerating, progressive series of surpluses. With these accumulated surpluses of the produce of the earth and seas, and not with manufactures, the Americans carry on their commercial exertions. Their fish, wheat, flour, rice, tobacco, indigo, livestock, barrel, pork, and beef, some of these articles being peculiar to the country and staple commodities, form the exports of their commerce. This has given them a direct trade to Europe and, with some additional articles, a circuitous trade to Africa and the West Indies. The same ingenuity of mechanic handicraft, which arises concomitant with agriculture, does here also rise concomitant with commerce and is exerted in shipbuilding. It is carried on not only to serve all the purposes of their own carriage and that of the West Indies in part, but to an extent of sale so as to supply great part of the shipping of Britain. And further, if it continues to advance with the same progress, it will supply a great part of the trade of Europe also with shipping, at cheaper rates than they can anywhere or by any means supply themselves. Thus, their commerce, although subsisting while they were subordinate provinces under various restrictions, by its advancing progress in shipbuilding has been striking deep root and is now shot forth an active commerce, growing into amplitude of state and great power. I will hear, therefore, from this comparison of the spirit of civilizing activity in the old and in the new world, as one sees it in its application to agriculture, handicrafts, and mechanics, and finally in the active commerce spatiating, that is spreading out, on an amplitude of base, the natural communion of a great country and rising in a natural progression, venture to assert that in this point, North America has advanced and is every day advancing to growth of state with a steady and continually accelerating motion of which there has never yet been any example in Europe. But farther, when one looks to the progressive population which this fostering happiness does, of course, produce, one cannot but see in North America that God's first blessing, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, has operated in full manifestation of his will. This might have been indeed the spirit of the British Empire, America being part of it. This is the spirit of the government of the new empire of America, Great Britain being no part of it. It is a vitality liable indeed to many disorders, many dangerous diseases, but it is young and strong and will struggle by the vigor of internal healing principles of life against those evils and surmount them. Like the infant Hercules, it will strangle these serpents in its cradle. Its strength will grow with its years, and it will establish its constitution and perfect adultness in growth of state. To this greatness of empire, it will certainly arise. That it is removed 3,000 miles distance from its enemy, that it lies on another side of the globe where it has no enemy, that it is earthborn and like a giant, ready to run its course, are not alone the grounds and reasons on which a speculatist may pronounce this. the fostering care with which the rival powers of Europe will nurse it ensures its establishment beyond all doubt or danger.